Welcome to The Productivity Show, the Asian Efficiency Podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of your time, attention, energy, and focus. In this episode, I'm joined by Francesco D'Alessio, a writer, blogger, and freelance marketer who I discovered because of his awesome YouTube channel, Keep Productive. Francesco does a lot of video reviews for different apps and tools, and he recently put together the task management video course, which was just launched inside the dojo. In this episode, Francesco and I talk about some of the important things to consider when it comes to task management and dive deep into several task management tools that he covered in the video course. We talk about how you can implement the Asian Efficiency task management workflow no matter what app you decide to use, and cover some of the advantages and disadvantages of each task management application so that you can pick the right tool for the way that you work. You can find links to everything that we discuss in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/181. And now, on with the show. Hey, this is Mike Schmitz, and with me today to talk about task management is Francesco D'Alessio. How are you doing today, Francesco?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Mike.
Awesome. Glad to have you join us. Now, you are going to be the expert in this area of task managers because you've got a YouTube channel, which you've covered a lot of this different stuff, and you've also put together a video course on task management, specifically how to use the Asian Efficiency task management workflow in a couple of popular task managers that we get asked about all the time. But I'm really excited to have you on the show and get your perspective for this task manager smackdown, as it is.
I'm really excited.
All right. So we will include in the show notes all the places that people can go to find you, and we'll cover that at the end too. So let's just dive right in here. And Francesco, you want to talk to us about why we should even use a task manager in the first place? Isn't just knowing what I need to do good enough?
That always seems to be a question that a lot of people ask me. You know, what's the point in a task manager? You know, how can it be beneficial? And of course, that's a question that you can ask yourself, but I think a task manager is essentially your port of call for your daily routine. I think that listing some of the things that you need to get done in your day can dramatically improve your opportunities when you're trying to get them done. So what I think of a task manager is I think that it's a good way to filter what you need to do and allow you to see what you need to do now or today, the most important things. So the sort of things that are good components of a task manager are ones that sort of are easy to maintain. So ones that you can have all of your like routine on ready. And number two, sort of sequentially ordered tasks so that you can get started working on them. Number three, the ability to capture new tasks. And number four, the ability to sort of filter those tasks down to specific like items so that you don't necessarily need to, you know, have to work out actually what you need to do. It's just in front of you and you need to get on with it. So yeah, I think that task managers are really vital, especially if you're someone that sort of freaks out when they've got a lot on their to-do list. It helps you distinguish what needs to get done.
Yeah, and we actually, in episode 180, so it'd be the one released before this, we talked about the five key pieces of a personal productivity system, and we kind of touched on the whole idea of task managers. We didn't really dive deep into it. In that particular episode, we talked about the different approaches where you've got analog, digital, even hybrid approaches. But based on those four key components of a good task management system, I think that it kind of eliminates a lot of the paper-based options, at least for people who have a lot of tasks, specifically because of the ability to filter. I really think that personally, that's where a tool like OmniFocus or To-Do or one of those more complex task managers really shines, is that if you take a little bit of extra time to define everything as you're putting it in, then they can the application can do the heavy lifting for you, and it can show you exactly what you need to work on at exactly the right time. You don't have to go through your list of 100 or 1,000 to-dos and find the things that are appropriate. Your application automatically just kind of shows you the ones that you need to work on.
Yeah, 100%. I think that from the hundreds of task managers that I've managed to review on the YouTube channel. I think that all of them have that consistency of being able to pop up and tell you what to do next. I think that people like the reminders function. I think people like the fact that they can see everything for the next couple of days or however you tend to organize yourself. But I know a lot of people who do work well with pen and paper. So, of course, there is a sort of a difference between how people work.
Yeah, and analog productivity is a big topic in the dojo. We've even got a video course specifically on analog productivity. So know that you can still use analog systems to manage tasks, but kind of for the sake of argument for this particular episode, we're going to be approaching this from a very digital background, I think. But there are some things that are going to be cross-platform, if you will, or generalizable, some of these important terms. So maybe let's kind of define some of the things that you would encounter if you were to just grab one of these task management applications, quote unquote, off the shelf and start using it, starting with a task. So when we talk about a task, what do we mean when we say a task?
Yeah, sure. So I tend to get a lot of questions from people that are asking, do I need a project manager? Do I need a task manager? And sometimes being able to define that makes it even better when choosing a productivity app. So a task, I would say, is something that you can define with a verb. So starting with a verb. So it could be write, it could be do, it could be complete, it could be find, something that kicks it off quite strongly. And the good thing is with a task is you need to be definitive. It needs to be actionable. So you can write that as if you're writing it for your future self. So you're not going to write it very briefly. You're not going to have a sort of half completed task name, because when you come to it in 3 hours or maybe 2 days later and you look at it and you go, I don't know what I mean. I don't know what it even meant by that. So being able to have a really well titled task will save you a dramatic amount of time.
Yeah, we've encountered this a lot with people who, you know, they buy OmniFocus and they're ready to start using it, and it's just did not use a task manager before, and it's too much application. One of the main problems that people have when they first start using it is they just start jotting down things and they don't follow that specific advice that you just listed there. They don't start with the verb. They don't write it for their future self. So they'll put in something like mom's birthday instead of buy gift for mom on mom's birthday by specific date, time, whatever. And then you see this task show up, the reminder fires and it says mom's birthday. And you think to yourself, what do I have to do with that again? Yeah. And all of those having to refigure all of that out, those decisions that you have to make, that has a really negative effect on your productivity. It may not seem like it, but all of those small decisions, I've got a podcast episode on this specific topic where the average person makes 35,000 decisions every day, and each one that you make is going to decrease the willpower that you have available. And so if you find yourself at the end of the day not having enough willpower to overcome the procrastination to take action on the side project or the side hustle, whatever it is, even if it's just something like for me, it might be spending time with my family, even if it's something that is quote unquote important, if you have nothing left in the tank, then there's a very good chance that you just zone out in front of the TV or something like that, because it's the any benefit approach. It feels like you don't have to, it feels restorative in some instances, but it's really not.
100%. And I think as well that, being able to have a definable task is also part of that due date process too. I remember when first time that I was in school, and I downloaded a to-do list application. I can't remember what the app was at the time, but I set one of my pieces of work and I set the due date as the deadline date. And I remember going to that task on the day or hour before it was to be handed in, and I was freaking out. I was like, no, I've forgotten all that great stuff. And I didn't even know what the task meant. I had to decipher it and then freak out. So of course, being able to define the task title and then being able to add a nice due date that allows you a good amount of time to complete the task is so important.
Yeah, that's another great point, which isn't even on this the section of the outline anyways, but it's something that we preach at Agent Efficiency is to use defer dates instead of due dates whenever possible. And in the video course, you talk about ways that you can do this with applications that don't really support a quote-unquote defer date. But do you want to just real briefly touch on the difference between a defer and a due date and how a defer date maybe would have saved your bacon in that particular scenario?
Yeah, that's it. The thing that I sort of explain in the different tools that we go over in the course is about how you can use in most of the applications that have just a due date, like Todoist, is setting that as your start date, mainly because the resources themselves, like Todoist, doesn't have a start date or a deadline date specifically. So using the due date gives you a good indication of when you need to actually start doing the task. And when we come onto the sort of today conversation, that's really when it becomes valuable, because once you set it for today, it appears in that today section and you can get on with the tasks that you've put there. So it actually becomes very valuable. But you've also got, I think I'll talk about this a bit later, but Todo, which is another Mac strong application for your productivity, for your task management, that actually has a start due date and deadline date. So you've actually got a whole host of different timings that you need to put in.
Yeah, and we'll get into the specific applications, but you're right, Todo's got a bunch of them. And I guess just to kind of provide a little bit different perspective, I guess, and color commentate on your definition of the sure. defer and start dates. From the Agent Efficiency perspective, the defer date would be when you want to start thinking about the thing, and the due date would be the date that it is actually due. So in your specific scenario, you know, if you were following the Agent Efficiency advice, what you would do is you would apply the defer date maybe 2 weeks before when you want to start thinking about how you're going to write the paper, and then the due date is the day that it actually needs to be handed in. So hopefully you can kind of see how all of these different criteria that you can apply to a task in your task manager can allow the engine behind it to show you what you should be thinking about. Now, there's a couple other things that we need to define here too, which these are going to be a part of pretty much every task management system. Not all task managers are going to have that defer or start date capability, however. A lot of them just do have a due date. And we'll actually get into the different types of task managers in a little bit here. Some of them will not even have due date functionality. But at the beginning here, we want to define some of the important terms. We've got a task, which is something that you need to take action on. You gave us some great tips for that. We talked about due dates versus defer dates or start dates. Now, you had also mentioned that some people will ask you, what's the difference between a task manager and a project manager? I think there's a very different definition here of a task and a project. You want to kind of explain what that means when we say a project versus a task?
Yeah, sure. So a project is really a group of related tasks. So you can go into most of the task managers and find a project list section. So once you are in that project, you can essentially from here add a bunch of tasks that correlate to a specific goal or to a specific project that you're working on. And this just helps you to define all of that. Some of the task managers that we mentioned in the course actually go into a lot more detail than others. Some just keep it quite simple. Some that you can just set project, like the project in a list, but others you can actually add due dates to the project, start, end dates, etc., and even more detail than that. So actually, the definition, the separation between the two, tasks are more actionable items that you can start working on, and projects are related tasks, a group of them inside of a project.
Okay, cool. So projects would be one way that you could dig in and find the task that you maybe should be thinking about. Maybe the project, as we're recording this right now, maybe I've got a project for this whole podcast episode where recording the episode with you, that would be a task inside the project, but I've still got to edit the audio. I've still got to create the WordPress post. I've still got to upload the file and hit publish. So that would be the project. And then when the episode goes live, that's when the project would be done.
Sure. That's exactly it.
Awesome. Now, there's another way that a lot of task managers allow you to filter your tasks, though, and that is a context. So what exactly do we mean when we say a context?
So a context is a person, place, or thing that you need to get something done. So you can like correlate it to really whatever. Like, for example, inside of a task manager like Todoist or even To-Do, you can add labels or information to add even more detail to the task. That provides you more context. It provides you all of the relevant information. So a good example might be, you know, walk the dog. You know, that's a task that you have. You might put it inside a project. It might be a big project. But actually having walk the dog as an item, you need a place. So you can attach a place to it. You could be, you could associate a person to it. You could even delegate it to a person, or you can even add other labels and information to it. Just providing it more detail so that when it comes to doing it later or that day, then you have everything there. So a context is pretty much everything around a task to help you get it done.
Nice. Now, the definition that I put in the show notes here is straight from GTD, but I think I like your definition a little bit better. So the traditional GTD version of a context is a person, place, or thing that you need to get something done. But when you were talking about tags or labels, it makes it sound like you could apply a bunch of these around a task as appropriate, which I know is one of the things that people have trouble with. We get support requests all the time for OmniFocus premium posts about people who say, I've got multiple contexts that I need to assign to this task. How do I do it? Because some of these task managers force you to just select a single context. The general advice that I would give people there is to pick the one that you think makes the most sense. So if it's a phone call, for example, maybe you're going to have phone as your context. Although as technology progresses and almost everybody has a smartphone and all of their contacts with them wherever they are, maybe that's not as appropriate. Maybe it's more of an office context. But I would say that whatever you absolutely need to in order to get the thing done that you might not have otherwise, that's the thing that you want to use if you had to pick just one as a context. And then the real magic happens when you go into your task manager and you say, show me all the things that I can do right now while I'm at my office that I've deferred until, you know, Monday and are due in 2 weeks. And you've got now magically a list of three things that that you should be working on. And it's a real logical to just kind of work through those. I'm curious though, let's talk about some of the different examples of context, because I know there's a ton of them out there. And I'm curious what other ones maybe you've seen. Like, just to give you an example, I know that there are people who use energy-based context. So maybe they'll create a context which really isn't the person, place, or thing they need to get something done, but it's just low energy. It's a list of tasks that they can do when they don't feel very motivated. Mm. What other creative uses of context have you seen?
Yeah, exactly. With the energy one, I've seen that quite a lot. I personally actually use the energy one as a way to use it in my day. It really actually does help when I'm like, I'm really knackered and I actually want to get a few things done, but I need to find those items that really don't take too much energy up. Another one is time. I know a lot of people in the community that I'm in, they use a lot of time-based labels and things attached to their tasks. When they can do that, they can associate it to 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, two. And what they can do is if they have 10 minutes spare between a certain meeting, they can get working on that task. And it just provides them a bit of productivity in that time that they thought they would never do anything, or they might be doing, you know, Instagram scrolling. So actually having context can be very beneficial. I know some people who combine context together, so potentially have like 10-minute tasks with an offline tag or 10-minute tasks with an online tag or with their smartphone or their laptop. And once you do that, it can be very beneficial. So a good example could be, let's say you take regular cab rides in, I don't know, maybe you're in a city or maybe you take the bus. Whether it's commuting or little trips, that cab ride, you could have a label for it. And you could also have offline and maybe 10 minutes. And you know that's normally your regular ride. Basically, once you've tagged a task with all of those items, You could have a lot of productivity being done in that cab. Maybe it's a smartphone item. Maybe it's like reply to all Twitter DMs. And you've got that labeled as 10 minutes offline and in the cab. And it just provides you with a way to get things done just by utilizing just simple labels that provide context to help you get that done. So I've seen a lot of different situations where that's been used, but they are some of the, I guess, some of the most creative ones.
I like the time-based tag solution. I know OmniFocus, which is the task management system that I personally use, has a duration for the task that you could put that in. But I think that there's a lot of value in a flexible tag-based system where you can really apply the tags any way that you want. And being able to combine them, like you said, where you've got a time-based task for 10 minutes and then using other context to identify the specific location, using those together is a great example of filtering tasks, in my opinion. Because what you want to do is you want to break down out of all the tasks that are in your task management system, what are the ones that you can do in the next 10 minutes that you have available? And then from there, okay, these are all the tasks that I've got 10 minutes available. What are the ones that I can do given the equipment or environment that I happen to be in? Mm-hmm. And the more that you filter down like that, the more appropriate, I guess, or accurate the task list is in terms of what you should be working on. And really, that's the mindset I want people to understand right here, is that as we're talking about these different terms, where we've got context, we've got projects, we've got tags, which are kind of a different way of applying context, defer start dates, writing your tasks appropriately. Like, all of this is prep work that you do on the front end that significantly decreases the friction that you encounter in using your task management system when it's time to actually get some work done.
100%. Yeah, I think that all of those built together and understanding them could be really helpful.
All right, so going a little bit out of order here, but I think that this is a good place to talk about some of the different types of task managers, because we've talked about a lot of these different terms and criteria, but the reality is that they're not all going to be appropriate for the different types of task managers that are out there. We've got a podcast episode on this particular topic, episode 135. We talk about the different types of task managers, and I'll just kind of walk through these real quickly, and then we can get into the task management workflow, because I think that there's not a whole lot that needs to be said about these. But pen and paper, obviously the analog systems, that's the simplest. It's also the most flexible. Brooks and I talked about in episode 180 that an analog system is really the place to start, because that's where you understand how these things start to work. And then once you figure out the system, the digital tools can make it more efficient. But if you're trying to apply the system and you're not using the advice of writing good tasks, for example, then you're really just multiplying the errors that you're making, and the system's not going to be usable. The next one here, which I'd like to get your opinion on, are these simple list apps. So this could be something like reminders on your iPhone, and I'm sure there's an Android version of this, but I'm not an Android person. The other version I've seen, or the other app I've seen that functions in this space, is something like Do, where you've just got a simple list and you can apply a deadline to the task, and it can remind you that you're supposed to do this thing at this time. What other simple list applications maybe have you used, and where do you see these specifically fitting?
Yeah, sure. So I think simple list managers are actually quite a good way if you're not looking for something too complex and you just want to like just have something really basic. So reminders obviously is a good one on iOS. I think when I used to use an Android phone, I used to use Google Keep. That used to be my go-to one. And there's a couple of other ones, like I'm not sure it's still around. I think it's still around. For iOS is Clear, which is a really good one as well. It's really gesture based and it actually looks really good because like you can swipe all around. But these sort of simple ideas are that you can just keep and create these lists and you get a little notification when these come along. So I think they're very valuable for people that just want to keep things simple. They don't want to go too intense. But there are some task managers that are less intense that still provide all of the experiences that most of the big ones do. But if you're just looking for something really easy to get started with, then these are probably the section you want to be in.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that advice completely, that if you've not used a task manager before, then this is a great way to get your feet wet. Because I think if you're not using a task manager now and you're looking at some of these list apps, then something like Do specifically might really be appropriate, because it's just going to keep nagging you until you actually do the task.
Yeah,
100%. But a step up from there are the task managers, which we're going to get into in a bit here. This is where you start to see all of those terms that we talked about, the context and the projects and even the tags. Like, those are all features that these task managers have. And these are things like OmniFocus, Todoist, To Do Things, and we're going to cover these in a little bit. But this is really what I want to highlight here, is that this is what we're focusing on for this particular episode, because the video course that you put together is all about how to use the Asian Efficiency Task Management workflow in these different task managers. So these task managers can have a ton of features, and you can put a whole bunch of things in there, and then you see all these empty fields and you're like, I have no idea what to put here, and you can quickly feel overwhelmed. But this task management workflow that we're going to walk through next, I think that this is something that is fairly easy to implement no matter what task manager you happen to be using. You want to kind of walk us through this task management workflow?
Yeah, sure. So this is something that I touch on in the course in a bit more detail. But I think the task management workflow is a good place to start if you are someone that has experience in to-do's applications, but sort of wants to take it to a more precise level. I think that once you get in this workflow, this system, and you actually understand it, it can actually save you valuable time in your day, because you're just focusing on the real important tasks. You're not necessarily, you know, like going into and worrying too much about other ones that are less important. So it's really simple to start off with. You select 3 to 5 tasks for the day, and they're the most important tasks. You've got to try and drill them down to those really important ones. So you've got to, what you've got to start doing is to put them in the today section. Most of the task managers that we go over, the task managers we go over are Todoist, To Do, and Things, have the today inbox, the today area that you can put the tasks into. And it just provides you with a nice view to see all of the things you need to get done. So as I was saying, the goal is to keep 3 to 5 of them in there. And what you can do from here is work off the short list. Now, once you have all of those, you start doing them in your day, you obviously start to clear them off that list, and that's also very useful. You can start ticking them off, and you're not stressing out too much, because 3 to 5 items isn't necessarily like a long list of 30 or 40 different tasks, and you're slowly ticking them off. And you can add detail to them if you like. We talked about the context a bit earlier. You can add, obviously, context to them. You can add subtasks, and if the task manager allows it, you can add any notes. They could be URLs or information about that specific task. They would just add some more detail. But once you're finished off with them and you've completed everything, you can go back. Let's say you finish your day at 2 p.m. And you're like, wow, I managed to get all 5 of those tasks done really early. You can always go back to whether another project list you've got or your inbox and actually move some more into there. So it's almost like you're sort of bringing all of the most important stuff into this sort of now section almost, and you're just getting working on them. So that's really how the task management workflow works. And we sort of go into a bit more detail in the to-do, Todoist, and Things 3, and how they work with each of them, and sort of explaining the sort of the features that make them stand out.
Yeah, because I know, for example, like Things, there's the today view, but in other task management applications, it's going to be phrased a little bit different. The basic idea, if you can't figure out which view that you're working off of, would be like a lot of at least basic task managers have the ability to flag a task. And so that would be the advice that I would give, is assuming, you know, you have a vanilla task manager available to you, just go through and look at all the things that you can work on before you start working the day. I usually do this the night before, and then select your 3 to 5 tasks, flag those items, work off that short list. And then, like you said, sometimes you'll get done early. That happens a lot more often than you'd think. A lot of the people that we work with the OmniFocus course, the problem with OmniFocus is that it's got all these features, and yeah, you can go in and you can add all of these things to your task, but for a lot of people, that's overkill. And the danger is that you spend so much time working on your task management system that you don't spend the time getting your actual work done. Really, all you want your task manager to do is, with the minimal amount of effort, give you the things that you should be working on. And so that's where this task management workflow, I feel, is very generalizable. And everybody that I've worked with who has implemented this, where they've spent, you know, hours trying to figure out how to find the custom view that they should be working off of. I'm like, no, don't worry about that. Just flag 3 to 5 items, work on those 3 to 5 items. Then when you're, if you get done with that, you know, that's a good day, but now you have more time and go back and figure out some more stuff. So I think that this task management workflow will work for just about anybody and is a great place to start.
100%. I always sort of recommend to anyone who follows me on YouTube really to try and avoid spending most of your time in a productivity application. It's sort of ironic in a sense, but I do agree with your sort of method, and I do something like this myself. Whether it's a busy week, if it's a fairly frantic week, I'll tend to plan 2 days in advance or 1 day, depending on how frantic it is, so that I have all of those 3 to 5 or 3 to 10 tasks, whatever I sort of work off in that week, there, ready, so that I can get working on them. And in a slower week, in a more controlled week, I will tend to do it a week in full advance. And that way, I can have all of them there, and I know all of those 3 to 5 things that I need to get done.
Yeah, Curtis in the podcast channel, in the Slack team, is saying that, and he's the one actually I recorded the episode on analog productivity with. He says, the lack of fiddling is why I kept getting away from digital tools. So I totally get that. Those force constraints, they can help you be more productive. The other thing worth calling out here again, though, is the 3 to 5 tasks. I think we should revisit this just for a moment, because people may look at that and say, 3 to 5, that's not very much. I know I'm going to get 10 done today, so I'm going to go ahead and add 10 things to my task management system. I would say that that is dangerous, because that would cause, if you don't get to all 10 of those things, now you've got a whole bunch of things that are overdue. And if you do that every single day, all of a sudden you've got a ton of overdue things that every time you go in your task management system or task management application, you are now instantly overwhelmed because you're so far behind. And this gets into a topic that you cover in the video series on snowballing. Do you want to define what snowballing is for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So snowballing is probably something that we've all done in our stages of life. We tend to have a big list, like you're saying, like 10, 15 tasks, whatever it is. You can build it up to whatever you like. I know a lot of people who've had 20 to 30 items on their list that have been pretty manic. And what you do is maybe about 2 o'clock and you're absolutely tired, or maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, the ending of the day, and you see you've got 3 or 4 items still left on that list, and you're like, okay, I'm going to have to defer these to tomorrow. And you have to move them on there. So you're snowballing, you're picking up all of those tasks and dragging them into the next day. So it's not an effective way to work. There are some tools inside of Todoist, for example, that help you with this process. But at the moment, it's not something that I would recommend anyone doing as a good practice. I think that a better practice would be for you to set those shorter amount of tasks, and then you can always add to it if you've built up your productivity across your day. I think one thing there as well, just to sort of round that off, is that let's say you get those 5 things done, the sort of dopamine boost that you get from that sort of flow state that you're in of being able to complete those 5 tasks is actually so good that you sort of want to add more and get those next 5 done. So it just provides you with a positive process to go through. Like, and even if you get just 3 or 5 of those done, they're the most important things to get done. So you've actually provided yourself with a win-win scenario.
Yeah, I love that you brought up the whole idea of flow. I'm actually reading a book right now called Flow by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, which is the guy who Cal Newport did the research for Deep Work and a lot of other books that have covered that topic of a focused work that kind of reference his research. But yeah, there's a lot of benefit to doing the right things, doing them well, and checking them off. The dopamine hit, like you said, when you check things off, that causes more momentum. I also want to call out here, though, that choosing the right tasks is important if you want to build that momentum. We advocate at Asian Efficiency for an idea picked up originally from Brian Tracy called Eating That Frog, based on the Mark Twain quote, you know, if you eat a live frog first thing every morning, nothing worse will happen to you today. From the productivity perspective, basically means that the thing that you're procrastinating on probably has the biggest benefit to you moving towards your ideal future or getting your big project done. And so you should focus on that first. And if you get that done, then doesn't really matter if the rest of your day goes off the rails because you've at least got that thing done. And so if you were to expand that concept, if you identify the 3 to 5 most important tasks for you to do during that day, not the 20 phone calls that you have to make that really aren't going to be, they're not really going to move the needle. You know, don't put those on your task list first. Go for the things that are going to provide you the biggest value, not necessarily the ones that are easiest to do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Cool. So let's get into some of these task managers then. You can use this task management workflow in a lot of different applications. Like we talked about, the video course you put together, you cover how to do it specifically in a couple different applications. And the videos that you put together do a great job of walking people through step by step. But let's just kind of talk about some of the different options that are available in terms of task managers. And I'll start with OmniFocus because that is the one that is near and dear to Asian Efficiency's heart. This is kind of where Asian Efficiency really got rolling, was the OmniFocus premium posts. So OmniFocus, we love, and one of the things that I love about this specifically is the review feature. I don't believe that there's another task management application that has the quality of review that OmniFocus does, but I'm interested to get your perspective on OmniFocus and kind of hear maybe what you like or dislike about this.
Yeah, sure. OmniFocus is actually one of the biggest apps that I haven't yet reviewed over 3 years. If I'm honest, it's it's very close to GTD, and it's an application I think you need to learn and get a full understanding of. It's one of those apps that actually has a bunch of features and provides a lot of value, but I think when you use it in the right way, it can explode, if you know what I mean. I think that OmniFocus is just one of those applications that if you spend a bit more time on it, it will give you more value, a bit like, for example, I would say Evernote is a good example of that. The more you put in, the more you get out. So yeah, OmniFocus is fairly alien to me. It's something that I've been nudged to review a lot more on the YouTube channel, but it's something that I'm going to be exploring a lot more in this coming year.
Yeah, OmniFocus definitely has a huge learning curve, and that's where people usually buy the OmniFocus premium posts, is they've spent a ton of money on this product because it's not cheap. I think it is $60, if I remember right, for the Mac version and $40 for the iOS version. So it's one of the most expensive task management systems out there. It's also very closely aligned with, like you said, the GTD or getting things done system. So like right now, for example, as we record this, there are not multiple contexts. So you can't really use something like tags inside of OmniFocus. You do have limitations there. But yeah, it's very easy to buy an expensive application like OmniFocus and think that it's going to solve all your problems. And then if you don't spend a significant amount of time to figure it out, you can end up just not being able to trust your system. So that's completely fine. And honestly, not the place that I would recommend that most people start. So if you're listening to this episode and you've never used a task manager before, I wouldn't recommend that you pick up OmniFocus to start. There's going to be some other options here. Let's talk about the next one. I know you do have some experience with Todoist, and I personally do not. I've used it a little bit, but I really haven't spent the time to figure out what are all the advantages of Todoist. So who would you recommend Todoist for? What do you like about this particular application?
Yeah, so Todoist is my personal choice of Todoist application, but I think it's one of the resources that I recommend probably the most alongside a couple of other ones, mainly because what it does really well is it's quite general in its functions. So if you are brand new to to-do list management applications and you look at the sort of the design of it, you can understand it pretty well. There's an inbox, there's a today section, and there's next 7 days. It's quite a simple experience, I guess. But if you're someone that wants to go even further, maybe has some knowledge of GTD and wants to take their productivity to a whole new level, then I think Todoist still helps you sort of, I think it's what it does well is it's like from beginner all the way to late intermediate or even to the early stages of advanced sort of task management. So it's really good in terms of bringing everything together. I think the highlighted unique features of it really are the sort of ability to use intelligent input. So intelligent input is one of the features that I like quite a lot, mainly because as you're going about your day and you want to add tasks at a rapid rate to different days and you know what days you want to add them on. Basically, for example, if I typed in, complete a podcast or record a podcast and I put today at 5 p.m., what it would do, similar to some other resources, it will, if you click enter on that and add it as a task, it will highlight today at 5 p.m. as the due date and add it automatically to that day. So when you're in the next 7 day tab or you're in the today tab, you can see that there. And it just provides a really quick way to enter tasks. There's a bunch of other features as well, like labels and filters, which allow you to add even more context to tasks. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but I think that's a very useful thing. And it's very flexible in its sense because you can create your own labels. Labels are a premium feature, just to note. But labels allow you to just attach different items. I know a lot of people use different context points like energy levels, time, devices, whether they're offline, online, etc., and just use all of those labels together and then use filters to bring all of those specific items down. So yeah, Todoist is, I would say, one of those resources I recommend for a whole bunch of people just because it's so friendly to a lot of the audience in the productivity space.
One of the things that I'm really intrigued by with Todoist is I know that they have a skill for the Amazon Echo. So you can use the lady in the canister to add tasks directly to Todoist, which I think is a really cool idea. And I know OmniFocus has something similar with Siri. Some of the other Mac-specific or iOS-specific applications do as well. But it's never worked very well for me. Siri in general has not worked very well for me. And the Amazon Echo seems to recognize my voice quite a bit better. And yeah. I like the idea of having the ability to just being in my home, being able to say something, having the Echo pick it up. And then next time I go to my task manager, there's the task.
Oh, definitely. I use the Todoist integrational skill on the Amazon Echo, and it's a massive lifesaver. I think whenever I'm home and my fiance tells me a bit of shopping list items to get, I tend to just go, Alexa, do this, do that, and add that to my to-do list. And it just pops up on Todoist on my phone, and I'm like, thank God, I can bring that over to my shopping list for tomorrow. So yeah, it's super valuable. I actually was surprised at how valuable it was. It's something I didn't really think would work very well, but actually has become really useful.
That's good to hear. Like I said, I don't use Todoist, so I haven't really had much reason to test this, but that's what I immediately thought of was, oh, this is going to be like the Siri integration, except that will be useful.
Yeah, that's it. The thing is, there are times when you are in your day, like I sort of wish that it was available when you're on a run or something. So you can just, you know, because the Siri integration, I'm not too great with Siri. It's probably because I've got an iPhone 6 Plus, so it's a little slower these days. But I would like to be able to capture tasks on my run or ideas on my run, and Siri don't work too well. But I wish I had a walking Alexa.
Right. Well, the one application that I have found that uses Siri well, like it actually works for me, is Drafts on my Apple Watch, which is I use to capture things whenever I'm out for a run. And then from there, I'll put them in the task management system later. But capturing them directly to a task manager never seems to work well for me. Siri will usually mess up the name of the task or apply the wrong information to it or put it in the wrong list. And then I just get frustrated because I have to go back and fix it.
Yeah, sometimes it's a bit of a frustration more than it is a time saver.
Right. Next task manager, which you covered in the video course, is To-Do. And we've actually covered To-Do on the podcast. Matt Ryan is one of the Dojo members who actually started a thread called Everything To-Do. And he's kind of answered people's questions whenever they have anything that they're wondering about the application. He really understands it a lot. And just from seeing what he's done with it, I recognize that it is extremely powerful and flexible. In fact, I think the tagline or it used to be anyways, for the application on the Mac App Store was from GTD to XYZ and everything in between.
Yeah.
Other than the videos that you put together, like how much experience do you have with To-Do? What specifically do you like or dislike about this application from your experience?
I think To-Do is a great, I think where I put it in the sort of ranking of things is OmniFocus being the GTD hardcore application. I sort of put it just below it, I think. Like To-Do, as you're right saying, it's extremely powerful. It's got so many useful features. It's got amazing filtering abilities. It's got really awesome smart lists so that you can specifically organize items based on the filtering system you create. And it's also got just a really nice, easy to use setup. The one thing I think, again, it takes a bit of time to get used to, a bit of time to learn all of those lovely things inside it. I'm really impressed, actually, that is available on all of the different platforms. Well, most of them. I think it's Mac, iOS, Android as well, that is available on. And that's quite good, because I know that, you know, most of the other big heavy ones are quite restricted, dependent on device. So actually having it on all those devices does make it even better, because, you know, let's say we do make the big switch to an Android or an iOS device, then it comes with you and all of the goodness. So yeah, I think some of the features are like the reminders are actually really effective. I think, again, what we talked about earlier, the actual ability to add different start due dates, etc., to it really does make it even more valuable. So yeah, I rank it very close to OmniFocus.
One of the things that I really like about To-Do is the nagging reminders feature. So this is something that the application Due does a great job of, but Due doesn't give you projects, context, any of that sort of thing. It's just a great way to remind you to do something, and it's going to keep bugging you over and over and over again until you complete the task. So To-Do has that functionality as well, which I really like. It's also got the multiple contexts or tags. But yeah, it is definitely a feature-packed application, so it can be a little bit intimidating. But because it's not specifically set to the rigid GTD structure, I think it's, like you said, it's probably a little bit easier, just below OmniFocus in terms of the difficulty for the learning curve. Now, something that's going to be much easier, but still pretty powerful, is another application which you covered in the video module, and that's Things. Want to talk to us about Things?
Yeah, Things I'm actually very impressed with. I think the Things 3, which is their latest update, I always say to people when it launched, actually, it's the most beautiful to-do list application you can get. It is stunning in terms of its design. Again, it's restricted to iOS and the Mac, but I mean, again, very similar to OmniFocus. It's got a fairly high price to it, but again, a one-off fee, which makes it a lot easier. I think what makes today really great is that it brings together all of the abilities to do projects and areas as well. So you can organize all of that stuff. But when it comes to the sort of task management workflow stuff, it's got a great Today tab. And what's actually really exciting in Things 3 is probably one of the features I would most want to do is to have is a this evening section. There's so many times in my daily routine that I'm like, okay, I actually really do want a this evening section because I want to complete my today area, but I want to have a this evening section because I might get in a few little items or for example, I want to separate some of my to-dos in my daily routine. I might want to do different activities or call up a friend for a social chat. But actually having a this evening section makes it even more unique. So that's something that Things 3 does have that's very attractive. They've got a lovely upcoming section as well, so you can visualize all of your upcoming tasks. And it also brings in your calendar as well, so you can utilize that too. So yeah, Things 3, beautiful application. Again, I don't think it takes too much time to learn it like the likes of To-Do, but I think it does provide a pretty rich experience. So it does take a bit of time to get used to. But once you get used to it, it's a great little hub for your tasks.
Yeah, it's a pretty feature-packed application, but because the design is so great, you don't really need to understand all of the different principles in order to start using it. Like, you just go and you look at your task, and there's a button right there to send it to this evening, and you're like, oh yeah, I guess I just kind of want to defer this until this evening. You don't have to figure out what a deferred date is. And I think there's a lot of useful application for that, especially if you have a fairly scheduled workday. So if you have a bunch of meetings, for example, or you're trying to squeeze in a task before your next meeting and it takes longer than you thought, you have to move on with the rest of your day, but you want to make sure that you finish that thing off before tomorrow, then you can just click the this evening button. And I too am very impressed with that feature and things. The one thing I would say as a negative to things is that the developer, which I think it's Cultured Code, they obviously do a great job with the applications, but Things 2 was, I think it was 6 or 7 years before it got updated to Things 3. Yeah. And for a long time, people were wondering what was going to happen with this application, and Things 3 kind of came out of nowhere. So
yeah,
they announced it a long time ago, but then radio silence for a very long time until it was made available to the public.
That's it. Yeah, I think I was on the private beta for it, and so many people that were on that were like, oh my god, this is like revolutionary compared to the previous version of it. So I think they did a great job at bringing it back to life.
Yeah, definitely. I just am a little bit concerned. You know, it's new right now, and there's been consistent updates, but does it continue to get updates 2 years from now? That is yet to be seen. Next one on the list here, which was also brought up by Jessica in the Agent Efficiency podcast channel in the Slack team, is Asana. So do you have any experience using Asana?
Bits and bobs. I used it a few years ago for task management with a team. Again, it's more of a team resource, but it does provide you with a pretty comprehensive way to do it. And I think their release of the Asana boards has been quite a good introduction, especially if you're someone that wants to spread their wings and use something like Kanban to organize your tasks. So yeah, I think Asana is a great option. I wouldn't recommend it necessarily for someone who's looking to get started with personal task management, mainly because you'll see a lot of empty spaces where other people are meant to be delegated to items. So I recommend it for if you're getting started with team task management.
Yeah, Asana is a great option for team task management. And Asana is what my wife and I use personally for our family stuff. Tried to get her to use OmniFocus in the past, just wasn't working. And Asana having the ability to collaborate, it just clicked for her. So it's a great application. And I like the, like you said, I like the addition of the boards and the Kanban. For people who aren't familiar with that, do you want to kind of real quickly describe the difference between the traditional task list and the Kanban style boards that are available in Asana and also something like Trello?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I love the way you say Kanban. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong now. I don't know. I love that. I might actually change the way I say that. I guess the difference between it is with a task manager like Todoist or To-Do All Things is you generally get the just a list of items, whether you're working on a project inside it or in the list manager. And that tends to just be, you know, ticking off items there. But with a Kanban board, you have the ability to create cards or different tasks on that board. And you can basically separate them into different columns. And once you separate them into these columns, you could have, for example, a popular setup is to do. So you have all the list of your cards that you need to get started with. Doing, which is the actual process. So you actually doing that task, could be either now or something you're working on already, and done. That tends to be the sort of regular routine that people go on, but you can have any sort of setup you want. And that's what's great about the Asana boards and even Trello and resources like that, that provide Kanban systems. So you can drag them across the different stages. So it's almost like the stages of the task completion. But it just provides a more visual and creative way to get your tasks done. I know a lot of designers, professionals who use this because they prefer to see the task in its different stage of completion. And I know a lot of people who find it very useful. So it's not static, it's more interactive.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, more visual if you are wanting to wrap your head around where exactly you're at in a project. Looking at a board like Asana or Trello, the basic idea being that the to-do column is on the left, and then as you go to the right, you've got the in progress or the things that you are doing, and then on the far right, you've got the done column. And as you see things move and progress from the left side of the board to the right side of the board, it can be very motivating to see that progress. And you don't even need an application in order to do this. I know a couple of people who do this personally with Stick-It notes and a whiteboard. But it's the same principle. You want to just keep things moving. And as you keep things moving and you see that progress, it can cause you to take even greater action on the project. Kind of like we were talking about with checking things off a task manager. Same principle, except I think it's almost on a larger scale if you've got your entire project on your board.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's really useful if you've got teams as well, because the likes of Trello and Asana allow you to delegate different items to different people too.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other task managers that you've used that you'd like to highlight?
There are a few. I think if you're looking for some basic ones, Google Keep is sort of like a sort of post-it note board or a bulletin board for your tasks. It's very similar to Apple Reminders, provides you a pretty neat experience, and it's free as well, available on Android, iOS, and web, which is pretty handy. Microsoft To-Do, which is actually technically replacing Wunderlist, that's another one that is pretty handy. And what I quite like about that is they've got a today section called My Day, which is quite nice. So you can get all of your items from there. And again, that's available on pretty much all of the different devices. I think in terms of more advanced to-do list applications, you've got AnyDo, which again is a pretty neat experience, available on most devices. Allows you to organize your tasks into groups, so different areas that you focus on. An old classic, Remember the Milk, that's quite simple, but it also provides you with a pretty high-level experience when you're sort of managing your different tasks and items. And then I guess there's a few more in different areas, like TickTick. I know a lot of people in my community are massive TickTick fans. Again, that's simple tasks, nothing too intricate, but it does have a few pro features that Todoist has. So I have a lot of people at the moment umming and ahhing about whether they should choose Todoist or TickTick. And a lot of people were in that conundrum. And I guess finally, Knotsby is one of those really good ones. Again, you can use this with your teams, and a lot of people do prefer to use it with teams. But again, it's a pretty handy experience for just plotting out any personal task management.
Yeah, I've heard Jeff Sanders really extol Knotsby as a great task management system. I can't say that I've ever used it. Kim in the dojo had mentioned Toodledoo. Have you ever used that application?
That's on my list to review.
Okay.
But I'm going to get around to all of them, I promised. But I've heard good things about Doodledoo. It's got fairly reasonable pricing as well. And it's a good way to sort of set sort of an outline for most of your tasks. So it's definitely on my list to review.
Yeah, and you've got, we mentioned this at the beginning, but you've got the YouTube channel where you do a great job of reviewing all of these different applications. I noticed you have a couple videos on how to pick the right task manager and things like that. So we'll definitely include a link to that in the show notes. So thank you so much for being here, Francesco. Where can people go to connect with you? You want to give us your YouTube address and then any other resources you would point people to if they want to continue the conversation?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's obviously great to have launched the course with you guys. And I think you guys will enjoy the course itself. It goes into a good level of detail with Todoist, to do and things three. So I hope you enjoy that, first of all. Yeah, so you can find me on the YouTube channel. We have a good following there, but we also have a sort of more personal Facebook group. So you can join the Facebook group and actually become a part of the Keep Productive community. Apart from that, I'm on Twitter at @FrancescoD_ALES. So you can find me there. I regularly reply to tweets. And you can also drop me an email anytime. I know a lot of people in the Facebook group or on YouTube tend to drop me an email, mainly because they're in that struggle to find the right to-do-this application for them, or the right note-taker, or the right calendar, or the right habit. All these different applications. So my email is francesco@keepproductive.com. So you can find me there, and I'll happily take any questions or queries that you have, or go through in stuff more detail. So yeah, they're the different spots you can find me. Even if you say hello, that would be awesome, just to make an introduction to yourself. But yeah, thanks for having me on today, Mike.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. If you want to dive deeper on the topic of task management, then this month's featured video course in the dojo is just for you. In the video course, Francesco shares even more practical tips for implementing the Asian Efficiency task management workflow using a variety of task management applications. In the video course, he walks you through how to use this workflow in Todoist, Things, and To-Do specifically, three of the most common task management apps out there today, with specific tips for each program. So if you want to dive deeper on the topic of task management and get access to this video module, then we've got a very special offer for you, because right now you can join the dojo for only $1 for your first month. The dojo gives you access to a comprehensive video training library, including the video course that Francesco just published. But the dojo also gives you access to a community of like-minded achievers who really know their stuff and can help you take your task management to a whole nother level. Like Matt Ryan, who joined me on episode 137 to dive deep into To-Do. Now, here's the best part. You can get access to not only Francesco's task management video course, but the entire video library for only $1 for your first month. But this offer is just for podcast listeners, so if you want to take advantage of the special offer, you have to go to theproductivityshow.com/dojo. You'll get access to the entire dojo, including the private video training library with new courses that are added every single month, the community, which can help hold you accountable for reaching your goals, and direct access to myself, Brooks, Tan, and the rest of the Asian Efficiency team. But that special $1 for your first month offer is only available at theproductivityshow.com/dojo. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/dojo. You can find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/181. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast, as it really helps us out and helps other people find out about the show. The show is on Twitter as @productivityfm, And if you want to get your questions answered and get mentioned on the show, you can send us a tweet with the hashtag AskTPS. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.